consider the lilies, they don't toil nor spin, and there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrows, they don't plant nor sow, but they're fed by the master who watches them grow.
We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know.
May I introduce you to this friend of mine? He hangs out the stars, tells the sun when to shine, and kisses the flowers each morning with dew. But he's not too busy
to care about you.
Sing with us.
We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. Consider the lilies, and then you will know.
Our message to the world is that Jesus loves us. And our message to the unsaved world, there is a God, and He had a plan to pull you back, redeem you back to Himself. He's our Creator. He's the Creator of the world, and we, as His creation, have gone astray. But He had a plan and instituted that plan, and as Jesus said, it is finished. That plan was finished, and that plan is to get us humans back to Him, and praise the Lord for that. And then along the way, after we come to faith in Christ, then He never lets us walk alone from there on. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you for being here this morning, and I want you to turn your Bibles. We're going to preach just a little while about what the disciples were doing 1 week later. Here we are 1 week after Resurrection Sunday, the time we celebrate Easter. And I want to just take a glimpse in, some good, some bad, of what the disciples were doing 1 week later. John chapter 20, if you'd find your place there, John chapter 20. God has given us a great gift with Brother Dan and Miss Carmen. I thank God for him and her, and they've been friends for many years, of course. We've always thanked the Lord for them, but then to put them together serving. And so he and Brother Daniel and myself, we have a great time. And then the ladies in the office. And as you know, tonight we'll tell you more about our youth pastor, youth director, student pastor. And we plan to add that to our ranks. And I believe God would be in it. As you find your place in John chapter 20, I did hear this story, though, about a song director. He and the pastor were, this is completely bogus for here, but they were at odds with each other, not getting along very well, the pastor and the song director. And so the pastor was preaching one time, and the song director was just trying to think about what he could say, or what he could sing, rather, after the end of the service that would really get him. You know, he thought, I'm going to get that guy. And so he was preaching on giving, the need for giving. And so at the end of the service, as they get ready to go, the song leader came up and directed everybody in the song, Jesus Paid It All. Then the next week, the preacher preached on gossiping and how the need to keep a tight lip. And so the song director got up at the end and he led him in the song, "I Love to Tell the Story." And then the preacher preached the next week on being flexible and easy to get along with, not being ugly and obstinate. And the song leader got up and led them in the song, "I Shall Not Be Moved." And the pastor and the song director, it didn't get any better. They just kept fighting back and forth, back and forth. And so finally the preacher was so frustrated, he resigned. And he told the congregation, "Jesus brought me here. He brought me here for a season. And now Jesus had led me, leading me away." And so the song director told everybody, "Let's stand. I want to lead you in what a friend we have in Jesus." So that's not biographical or autobiographical about here. But God bless you anyways. John chapter 20, verse number 26. The Bible says, "And after 8 days again, his disciples were within." So 8 days from when they had seen the resurrected Christ, they were within, and Thomas with them. "Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." We get most of our message from right there in those verses. And we come to you today to give you this thought about what they were doing a week later. Of course, they had celebrated the resurrection after they were emboldened just a little bit. Now remember, there was this cowering group of people that would not go with Christ to the cross. Peter, though the whole world deny me, I will not deny you. And then Jesus told him, "Before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me thrice." And so Peter and the rest of the disciples are running away. And so then they come to the tomb to find it empty. And now 7 days and an eighth day has passed. And so now we want to take a glimpse into what they're doing. They're scared. They're confused. And in the next chapter, chapter 21, even after they see Jesus here, verse number 3, Simon Peter saith unto him, "I go a-fishing." And then several of them went with him. That's when later Jesus comes and finds them and asks them, "Children, do you have any meat?" And so that's all in verse number, or chapter 21 there. And so this is not the shining hour. This is not the bright time for the disciples. We see that they are not doing what they ought to do. But I do want to give you a few things about what they are doing. Number one, I see that in verse number 26, they did meet together. Now, perhaps they were meeting for fear. Perhaps they were meeting because they had nothing else to do. They didn't know what to do. They could not gather their thoughts, but they met together. Look at verse number 26. "After 8 days again, his disciples were within." They were again closed, the doors closed, and they were afraid, and they were despondent probably. But the first thing they do is they do continue to meet. And can I tell you this morning that when you get to a tough time in your life, if I could apply it this way, sometimes when you get to a tough time in your life, you pull back from church or from family or from friends or from relationships because you feel like, "I just can't be around people." Can I tell you that's a trick of the devil or a trick of your flesh? Because what you need the most is to be around your family and your friends and your church family, that because they can help you and they can encourage you. You say, "Brother John, I don't feel like being around anyone," but that's exactly the time you need to be around somebody. How many of you understand that a good friend will come and ignore your request to leave you alone? They say that a good friend is somebody that you can go to their house at 2 a.m. with a shovel and says, "Don't ask any questions, just come with me," and they'll do it. But you understand that a good friend will be there even when you don't necessarily want them. But I'm telling you here, these group of people, these disciples, they did meet together. These post-resurrection disciples felt the need to be together. And I remind you, this little other side note of application is when problems come to your life, you may hate the problem. You may wish it would pass. Certainly you wish it weren't there. But it does drive you to the Lord. It does drive you to come together also with people that also know the Lord. There's a strengthening that happens when we come together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some men." One of the hardest things about COVID and all that's gone on in the last year is that for some time the churches weren't able to meet together. You say, well, we get to meet online, and thankfully we still have that capability. Brother Jim and all the McGee and all of them do such a great job getting these things out, and I thank God for that. But remember, my friend, that if God gives you the ability to meet together as we are this morning, you ought to take that ability, because there's still something about meeting together. Forsake not the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And my friend, I'm seeing that these people met together. Read a story of Sherry, a little 20-year-old, she's in the hospital with cancer, and she had welcomed Haley, another young lady, that into a club that nobody wanted to be in because both of them had cancer. But there was strength in that group. They would encourage, they would egg each other on, and they knew well what we each other were facing, because everybody in the group was facing similar situations. And Haley was a believer, and as she came, she started spending time with Sharia and started witnessing to her, and through their time together, Haley shared Christ with her newfound friend. And one day, though, Haley went to her room, and it was all clean as a pen, neat as a pen, and spotless, uninhabited. And she found this note. Said, Haley, I lay here in my bed knowing that I'm probably not going to make it. I asked the hospital chaplain to help me accept Jesus Christ into my life on Sunday. If you're reading this, I'm assuming you came to the hospital room to see me. She said, you're the one who saved me. Like I said before, you're an angel from God sent to bring me His good news. Those ladies, as they would get together, they got strength from one another. And you understand that the modern leadership folks call it synergy. But there's some strength that comes together, or comes when you get together with somebody else who's also of faith. Somehow, being together, God works it in your life that it helps you. You may be an introvert, maybe somebody who doesn't necessarily like to be around people, or doesn't like to talk, but still, God forces you to in some of those cases, and you find yourself getting strength. I give you this fact that the disciples, they met together after this first week, and they find themselves being encouraged. And you think you found themselves encouraged with each other. They really were encouraged when Christ comes into the room. I see not only did they meet together, but look in verse number 27, if you will. I also see that their faith was challenged. Now, this is their little church meeting, if you will. This is their little gathering. And not only are they meeting together, but then they're challenged. He saith unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. I draw your attention to that phrase, be not faithless. Here the Lord shows up in their meeting. Oh, if your church services like this one would have the Lord Jesus show up, oh, what a service that would be. And Jesus shows up in their meeting. Can you almost feel the embarrassment with Thomas? Says, no thanks, Lord, I'm good. Because now it's all coming clear. But remember, 7 days, 8 days before, he was the one that says, I'm not going to believe unless I put my finger in his hand in his side and all that. So Jesus was just answering his request. And I almost can sense the embarrassment with Thomas saying, no, Lord, I did ask that, but I don't need it now. I'm good. Look at the way he's challenged. He says, be not faithless. And you know there's something good about coming to church. Because Brother Dan will lead you in some songs about our great Creator. Brother Dan will lead us in some songs about our wonderful Savior. Brother Dan and Miss Carmen will sing songs like Consider the Lilies of the Field, how they grow. And it will encourage you and challenge you. And as the Scripture says that Jesus told those disciples, Thomas specifically, be not faithless, meaning grow and have some boldness in your faith. And you and I, as we make the effort on a Sunday night, a Wednesday night, a Sunday morning, whenever, and we get into a Bible study or a church service, we come in there and we allow the Spirit of God to do something in our lives. It challenges our faith. Something about singing blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. There's just something challenging about that. We need to be in, I believe, in regular service of the church so our faith can be challenged. Judson Deventer lived in the late 1800s, died in 1939. This young man accepted Christ at 17. He graduated from a university and had a job as a teacher and administrator for art. And he mastered about 13 different instruments because he also had a love for music. He was very involved in his church, and he struggled for about 5 years in his own testimony. For about 5 years, thinking that I ought to do something more than just teach and teach art and show these things. And about 5 years, he struggled back and forth. And in 1896, he was conducting music for his church because he was very involved, but was struggling with wanting to do more, maybe should do more. And during that song that he was leading to a group of people, he surrendered in his mind. And later he verbalized to the Lord, he surrendered. He surrendered to become a full-time evangelist. If that's what you want, I'm going to give up teaching. I'm going to give up music. I'm going to give up all these things. I'll just be a full-time evangelist. And when he got away from that time, when God was coming down upon him as he's leading this choir, this group of people, as he got away from everybody and got to gather his thoughts, the song flowed from his hands, I surrendered all. And the song that all of us have heard at invitation time came after 5 years of struggle from a young man that was doing good things, leading, teaching art, leading and singing and serving in his church and all of these. But the power of God just came down on him while he was leading a group of people in song, and he had to get away from them and get to a place where he could pin it down. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. He was challenged in that church service. Now I understand that we can watch, I do it all the time. We can watch videos on YouTube, or we can watch sermons on YouTube, and how do you think I get these messages? They tell me that Buick used to have a slogan, when better cars are built, Buick will build them. When better sermons are preached, I'll preach them. But so I watch sermons online too. But there's something about being in the pews, in the chairs, wherever, with other people of faith. This is not a slam against those that are not able to come back yet. You know through this, I want folks to follow the Lord's leading. And some people, I told some again this week, they were just afraid to come. I said, don't come, just watch it online. So I'm not saying at each specific Sunday, so please misunderstand what I'm meaning. What I'm saying is a general rule, when God allows the opportunity to come back, there's just something about a church family gathering together. Because not only are they gathered together, but their faith is challenged. Jesus said to Thomas, be not faithless. He already knew Thomas. He knew Thomas inside and out, but he's tried to stretch that faith. Says, don't be faithless. And that would not have come if he had not gathered together. I see number three. Not only were they challenged as they met together, but they were also worshiping. Look at verse number 28. We see specifically on Thomas, and we'll draw our application from him mostly this morning. As Jesus said here, reach hither thy finger and thy hand. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. The word worship brings the idea to lay out or to couch down in reverence. Abraham has said about him when he was taking his son up the mountain, he said, the lad and I are going to go up to worship. We're going to reverence the Lord. One aspect of this word means as a dog would lick, and I say this not unkindly, but as a dog would lick his master's hand to show loyalty, one little aspect of worship is just to be so enthralled with what you're worshiping that there you sit in attention. And I tell you, my friend, that as we think about church, as we think about our God, we understand that we worship Him and we praise Him. And as I mentioned in a sermon, I won't preach it again, that's not something new in the last 5, 10, 15, 30 years. There have always been churches that gather together and they worship the Lord because they worship Him by acknowledging who He is. And my friend, I challenge you, not only on Sundays, but all days of the week, that you get yourself set apart and you worship the Lord, remembering who He is. He's the God of all creation. And we see in this instance, as they come together, not only is their faith challenged, but then they're also worshiping the Lord. Please understand, and I'm not being unkind, but worship is not where you all stand together and sway your arms and chant the same phrase over and over again. Worship is when you realize who the Creator God is and you bow, sometimes with hands raised, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. That's biblical. Sometimes with voices being going out, and that's certainly biblical. But sometimes just sitting there, not able to speak, with hands raised or prostrate on the floor, you're realizing who it is that I've come in the presence of. And here we see that this group of people, they were worshiping the Lord. But we say, I can worship the Lord anywhere. John, you just said, well, I'll do that on Monday and Tuesday. And yes, you can, and you should. But if you come to a place where you're encouraged to worship, how many of you can work out in your basement? Well, all of us can, I guess, if you have one. But there's something about going to a gym where you go and you work out the gym because it encourages you to do that. At least encourages to splash water in your face and look like you're sweating so that people come in, man, I'm just going great. Larry Stover has been telling his doctor when he meets him, he said, oh, well, yeah, how's the exercise going? He said, well, I spent a couple hours in the gym last week, meaning this gym right here. And you understand, yes, you can work out. You can go out in your yard and run laps. You can do whatever you want. You can work out there. But there is something that encourages you when you get around that spot where you the machines are there, the exercise bikes and all the other stuff is there. It just encourages you. And when you come together, you realize as the songs are sung, the messages are given, the prayers are prayed, all of us should be pointing up to the fact that our God is a wonderful God who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and for me. Robert Weber, in his book, Divine Guy Embrace, says this, it's a fact that much of our worship, I'm quoting word for word, it's a fact that much of our worship has shifted from a focus on God and God's story to a focus on me and my story. And we do have to be careful when we have our services. That, as the new saying goes, it's not all about you. And certainly not all about me. But it is all about Him. And so as they came together, they were worshiping. He bowed down before. And Thomas bows before and says, my Lord and my God. He was worshiping. So when we look at what the disciples were doing, and I preach it now because we're a week out from the time we celebrate Easter. And this is the time that maybe you say, well, it was an exciting day last Sunday. It was such a wonderful time thinking about that. And but I only had one Easter suit, so now I'm going to have to wear something else again. And my family isn't all with me. They're from here and there. But remember, Easter is wonderful. But the disciples had to pick up from there and go on. Now, if I could preach it to you the next week and the next week and the next week and the next week, which I won't, then eventually they start getting in gear and they really start doing something. But today, they're still cowering in that room. But they are in that room. And if I could just take you back to that point I gave at the first part of the message. When you're having difficulties, and all that's in you is telling you just to pull back away from everybody, can I ask you as your pastor not to trust that voice? I'm not just talking about coming to church, although you know I think that's good. But I'm talking about when you want to pull back from your friendships, pull back from your family, pull back from even a spouse, and just kind of seclude back into yourself. It's rarely ever healthy. Maybe for a little while, and I'm certainly no psychologist or psychiatrist or anything rest, so I'm not trying to give anybody advice. I'm just telling you, these people, even though they were overcome with fear, they were at least gathering together. And when you find yourself in a deep, deep valley, once you surround yourself with some people who you know love you, even if it goes against what your inclinations are saying, because they're saying, just be by myself. And these people gathered together. These people, they were challenged by the Lord when He said, be not faithless. He was gearing them up. And then they, in turn, Thomas specifically, bowed and said, my Lord, my God. They worshiped. So I hope that every time you come to church, be it for a Wednesday night service, be it for a Sunday morning service, or any other thing, that you come through these doors and you remind yourself of who God is. And you remind yourself that He's got my problems taken care of. You remind yourself of this, that if the lilies and all that are taken care of by God, how much more does He care about me? And this morning, my friend, you are loved by an almighty God. If you're here and you're saved, you're a child of God, then you are loved by your Heavenly Father, and He's got your problems on His radar. He's got your issues. He's concerned about that because He wants to help you through. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're not a child of God, then God, the Creator of this world, sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on you. He loved you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross, and He was buried and rose again on the third day. We celebrated on Easter Sunday, but as I've told you before, we celebrate every Sunday. He died, was buried, and rose again in victory over the grave for you. And while He was on the cross, then He had your sins and my sins on His mind. He was dying for you. He was dying for me so that we could go to heaven. And my friend, if you're not saved today, then you need to, in faith, turn to Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness of your sins. Ask Him to be your Savior and ask Him to take you to heaven. What were they doing 1 week later? Well, it wasn't a pretty sight. They certainly wanted to say, well, let's go take the world by storm. They were still shut up with the doors and afraid. But boy, oh boy, when Jesus came on, He did something with them. And we thank God for it. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I believe that I've preached to some people who are having a tough time. And Lord, I pray that they would be encouraged to get around your folks. I pray they'd be encouraged to surround themselves with people who can also bolster their faith. And Lord, I pray that you would get them through the problems they're going through. If somebody in this room is down and downhearted and downcast this morning, but they're a child of yours, dear Lord, would you lift them up to the heavenly, spiritually speaking, and let them take a little gander of how wonderful you've got it all worked out. And Lord, if there's someone or several someones that's unsaved this morning, I pray that they would put their faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. My friend, if that's you, I pray you don't let this service go by without putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Father, bless us now again as our prayer in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play something? As they play, and if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. I never like for a service to end without inviting folks to come to Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, Jesus loves you. Jesus died on the cross. We celebrated last week that He not only died on the cross, but He rose again in victory. And if you've never had a time in your life when you realized that, but then did more than realize it intellectually, that you accepted it spiritually and you said, yes, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. Please forgive me my sins. You turn to Christ. If you've never done that, I invite you to today. Would you step out and come? And my Christian friend, if you're here, you're struggling, you're down, you're nearly out possibly. Oh, please. Remember, take the lesson from those disciples. They gathered together. And as they gathered together, Jesus showed up and their faith was challenged. Could I encourage you to keep on gathering together with Him, His people? Bless us, Lord, I pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to meet together, and thank you for meeting with us this morning. Thank you for taking the time to meet with the disciples and, Lord, to strengthen that relationship. And thank you for what we find every time we gather together. Thank you for encouraging us amongst ourselves. Lord, we love you and we appreciate so much, and we're so grateful for you sending God your Son to die in our place. Go with us now. And Lord, I pray that you'll bring us back tonight to once again be encouraged with other saints. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars.